This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, you're a fan of Bull Durham, right?
Yeah, of course.
When Nuke LaLoosh is shaking off Crash Davis, and eventually he's like, I want to announce my presence with authority. Goes, fastball. And when you speak of me, speak well. And the guy hits it off the bull. That's what Murakami just did in Chicago, Matt. He hit the damn scoreboard out in center field.
That takes a shot. Inotake Murakami for the White Sox hit it off the scoreboard. And we are tied at Wrigley 2-2 with two outs in the top of the third.
You know
White
what,
Sox
Matt?
Cubs.
Pat ourselves on the back. Game of the night again. Good job. White Sox and Cubs. We get PCA leading off with a – how about second straight night, the Cubs get two runs on two homers in the first inning, and they have squandered a lead for a second time. Now, they're not losing right now. It's 2-2. The Cubs had a golden opportunity in the top – or excuse me, the bottom of the second, Matt. They had the bases loaded, top of the order at the plate, and unable to get a run across as I believe it was Alex Bregman – actually, I believe it was Seiya Suzuki, excuse me, who grounded out to end the inning. So 2-2 is the score. Matt, do you have the live board up right now? What are we looking at for a price on Cubs-White Sox?
Cubs, obviously, the still the favorites, minus 190. Total at Wrigley, 11.5, under minus 125.
Yankee update. Yankees lead 3-1, as you said, this is the Trent Grisham game here tonight for the New York Yankees.
Trent Grisham with a home run and a two-run single. Carlos Rodon with a decent start tonight. Yankees up 3-1. The Orioles did have a major threat there in the seventh, but they came up empty. So Yankees now minus 1240. Live total 4.5.
Adley Rutschman has gone yard, hit a two-run single. Red Sox up 6-4 on the Diamondbacks as the Diamondbacks can't really, well, we're still got time here, but they're still fighting and chasing the Padres and the Phillies for those two wild card spots. Phillies up 5-3 as we speak, bottom of the seventh inning over the Marlins and the San Diego Padres. We mentioned this, Matt. Fernando Tatis, what a night. Solo homer in the first, robbed a grand slam in the bottom of the second, and then a two-run homer in the top of the fifth. 3-1 right now, Padres lead the New York Mets. Really good stuff from Eddie Walls as he gave us some insight on week zero. Agreed with my thought on Colorado State over 3.5, and also gave out a best bet over 4.5, minus 140 at BetMGM. That's 12 games. Matt, you wrote up the Pac-12 for our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. What did you have on Bronco Mendenhall's Aggies?
My recommendation, Utah State Aggies, over 4.5 wins in the VSiN Guide. Circus Sports line of 4.5 was over minus 160 on the 12-game line. This looks like a 5 or 6-win team, most likely, but I'm not crazy about Utah State. And the schedule is difficult. I believe the Aggies' key here is going to be back-to-back home games against Colorado State and Fresno in the second half of the season. You like Colorado State quite a bit? I like that team, too. And I also like Fresno State. To me, might be the favorite to win the conference ahead of Boise. But Utah State's got back-to-back home games against Colorado State and Fresno. It's interesting that Bronco Mendenhall, too, who's a coach I really like, and the way he's scheduled here, a lot of times I assume he scheduled these. Now, these games might have been set up before
year
he got to
two
Utah
for
State.
Him there, so maybe not.
Maybe before he got to Utah State. You see how Kurt Cignetti is scheduling in Indiana with cupcakes in the non-conference?
Oh, he's looking for a two-for-one with Notre Dame.
Utah State is playing Utah and Washington on the road in the non-conference.
Got to get that money, man.
Yeah.
Got to get that money.
Not going to get wins when you schedule like that.
Colorado State, by the way, win total. The juice has moved a little bit. Wyoming week one, the battle of the, what is that, the bronze boot, I want to say? It's the rivalry, the border war. That's what it is, the border war. And right now, Colorado State, a slight favorite there. 2-0 start would be lovely. Wyoming and Southern Utah for Colorado State. Surprisingly, Matt, no Colorado State game on my top 10 games of the college football season. It just missed on the top 10. We're going to revisit the top 10 here.
BYU plays in Colorado
State,
right?
Yeah, week three. How about BYU going to Fort Collins? Could that be a spot? CBS primetime there for Colorado State, BYU. Football season, as you know, around the corner. Sharp money already moving. Here's how the Sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books, thousands of Sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts. Every play logged, every result public, records back to 2011, live logs since 2021. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com. All right. We've got a list that we're working our way through, Matt. Our top 10 games to bet in 2026. A lot of these games already have lines up, courtesy of DraftKings Game of the Year. I know South Point has put up some Game of the Year lines as well. So my number 10 game, September 26th, Oregon at USC. USC right now a 5.5-point home underdog in that spot. And I agree with you. I think that might be an intriguing spot to potentially look at a home dog. What about another potential home dog spot? September 26th, excuse me, this is not a home dog spot. They will be big favorites. Georgia taking on Oklahoma. You know, there's a lot of really good SEC games, Matt. I'm high on Georgia this year. Top 10 matchup between Oklahoma and Georgia. Does Oklahoma get by that game that you have at number 10 in Michigan? So I put Oklahoma at Georgia, also September 26th. Georgia right now is a 10-point favorite. Look, I have very high expectations of Georgia. I think they win the SEC this year, Matt. But do they come away with a win at home against the Oklahoma defense? What will that matchup look like? So number 9 for me, September 26th, Georgia hosting Oklahoma down between the hedges in Athens.
Yeah, it should be a game Georgia can handle. That's why I didn't make my top 10 list. I would have it in the top 15. There are a lot of big SEC games, and a few of them I left off my top 10 list. I'm a little bit more intrigued by Oklahoma at Michigan, mm-hmm. just because we're going to find out a lot about the Wolverines.
Shorter spread, too.
Yep. So number 10, I had Oklahoma, Michigan. Number 9, I've got Oregon at USC.
Hey, look at that.
And I believe that was your number 10 game.
Yep.
Number 9, Oregon at USC on September 26th. And I do like the, as of right now, I haven't bet it yet, but I do like the Trojans as home dogs. The Oregon Ducks are an interesting team to me because I'm not the highest on Dante Moore, the quarterback. I thought he was pretty bad in both games against Indiana last season, especially the playoff game. I've always had a few questions about Dante Moore. But when I look at the Ducks, Tim, I really, really like this team across the board. And Dante Moore should be better this season. Jaden Maiava, the quarterback at USC, he's got the potential to have a big season. And USC is an extremely talented team, like we talked about last night. I think the talent and the potential are there with USC, and the Trojans are a much better team at home than they are on the road. We know that from Lincoln Riley's track record here. So right off the bat here, I probably can tell you I'll be on USC as a home dog against the Ducks.
Matt, I have a feeling you might be on the home dog in this game. Number 8 for me, a game we talked about last night, maybe the first test for the Irish, Notre Dame at BYU, October 17th. This is a loaded day. I've got another game on October 17th in my list a little bit higher up. You might be able to guess that one, maybe not off the top of your head, but you and I know how great that atmosphere is up in Provo. People I've talked to have already said this is the most highly anticipated game maybe in that stadium's history, definitely in this century, with Notre Dame potentially being, could be the number one team in the country. Who knows how things break heading into that game, but they should be a top 5 team. This is their first true test. They are 10-point road favorites right now, and I know there's been betting interest already on BYU. That number opened 11.5 at DraftKings, down to 10. So number 8 for me, Notre Dame, BYU, top 15 matchup. Both teams should be undefeated going into this game in Provo. Elevation, really big test for the Irish, middle of the season in October.
Yeah, I think you're underselling this game. I love this matchup. And Provo's a unique home field. BYU is tough playing at elevation, and this BYU team's going to be tough anyway, anywhere they play. I think, to me, this is Notre Dame-BYU is going to be a top 5 game. Number 8 on my list is Georgia at Alabama. And I left off some of the other marquee games in the SEC, but I've got Georgia as power rated as the best team in the SEC, as most people do. So the Bulldogs and Kirby Smart go on the road here against an Alabama team that we heard from Phil Steele last night. He thinks the Crimson Tide are underrated. I think this is a top game of the season in the SEC. The Bulldogs and the Tide in Tuscaloosa, that's my number eight game.
Yeah, Georgia looking like a slight road favorite at Alabama. Game of the year line for that game is sitting at Georgia minus -3.
This could be a top five matchup, too. It could be a top five game on my list. I've got a number eight. It made your list.
Oh,
right?
It's on my list. Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit higher on my list. We'll slip in number seven before we hit the break for me. Let's go Red River. I'll go Oklahoma, Texas. The reason this isn't higher, Matt, for me, even though it's a preseason top 10 game, it's a rivalry game. I don't like neutral site games. All the other games for me are all games on college campuses, should be great atmospheres. Not to say that the fair and in Dallas isn't a good atmosphere, but I still just, it's not the same exact juice. But Texas, Oklahoma, Red River is going to be number seven for me. We'll get Matt's number seven a little bit later, but Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, he's a guy who loves to get out and about to games. He went to Texas Tech BYU last year in Lubbock, came away very impressed by the Red Raiders. We will dive into some of Brett's favorite teams, including his national champion pick, and he's got a win total on a team that maybe is getting a little bit too much love, in his opinion. So the creator of Pick Six Previews, Brett Ciancia, joins us on the other side of the break. Our game of the night, Matt, heads to the fourth inning, 2-2, White Sox and Cubs homers from PCA and Murakami. Hit one off the scoreboard in left center field.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray, as we're running throughout our shows, our favorite games of this upcoming college football season. I am through my 10 through 7. We still need number 7 for Matt, and we'll finish this as the show goes on. We've got a guest standing by, but quick updates, Matt. We've got a 2-2 ball game in our game of the night. It looks like it's going to be a 3-2 ball game. The Chicago White Sox have taken the lead against Kevin Gausman and the Chicago Cubs. So just like last night, Matt, it was 2-0 in the first inning for the Cubs, two homers, and now it's 3-2 White Sox. A little different way we got there, but the White Sox take a 3-2 lead right now.
White Sox showing a lot of fight in this crosstown series. Back-to-back nights here. We'll see if they can hold on to the lead tonight. By the way, David Bednar, who's been the best closer in baseball the last 2 months, in for the Yankees, who have a 3-1 lead in Baltimore, one out in the ninth.
Christian Yelich, 3-run homer in Milwaukee. So the Brewers happy that the Cubs are now trailing, and the Brewers are now up 6-0. That makes this gentleman to my left happy as well. Talking college football makes our next guest very happy. He is the creator of this beauty, Pick Six Previews. You can get it over at picksixpreviews.com. You can get the PDF. You can get the hard copy as well. And a lot to get into here, Brett. You live in Pennsylvania, and last year, you weren't the only one, but you were high on Penn State. I was high on Penn State. A lot of people were. It was a disappointing season. And now it seems like it's very optimistic in Happy Valley with the schedule. No Oregon, no Indiana, no Ohio State. A joke of a non-conference. Matt Campbell and his curved brim come to town. So what do you expect from them? That win total at some shops as high as 9.5.
Last year, we all kind of missed the mark. And it wasn't just the Penn State bettors or the national champion picks. Remember, the other favorites were Texas and Clemson. None of those three made the playoffs. So it was a total chaos season last year. Of course, Indiana taking home the national title, their first in school history. But yeah, I'm based here in eastern Pennsylvania, and talking Penn State with locals and fans and alumni, all you hear about is schedule, schedule, schedule. And it is a favorable schedule draw. But I like to bring it back to this. I think you need to start looking at the position-by-position breakdown, the roster, the talent that's in the building before going to the schedule discussion. I think that's gotten too far out of control here, where all we're looking at is who they're playing. Who's actually going to suit up in the starting 22? And what it is, it's a lot of Iowa State players. Coach Campbell bringing over 14 Iowa State Cyclones with him. as many as 10 or 11 are going to start for Penn State. That's half your full starting lineup. Now, there's some good players in there. Rocco Becht is a gamer at quarterback. They got a tough running back with Carson Hansen. Great tight end with Bramer, who was a Mackey Award finalist last year. But overall, I think a lot of the talent that you're used to seeing from Penn State, all those five stars and all those all Big Ten guys from last year on defense, all of them are gone. So I don't know about this team talent-wise. So now when you look at this schedule with that in context, I see at least three losses on here. I see the road trip to Michigan, the road trip to Washington, and I think USC is going to be another loss in there, a team I've got going to the playoff. So I see three losses right there. It would not surprise me if they lost at Wisconsin too. So I'm looking at this over-under total, this win total, 9.5 seems crazy to me. I think over at FanDuel, you can get it -135 to go under 9.5. I'm taking that one. I like that as one of my season win totals.
Yeah, 9.5 seems to be an inflated number, so I would not disagree with that. Now, off the air, Brett, Tim was disappointed. He looked at your magazine and said, this is ridiculous. C.J. Carr is not a fourth-team quarterback. you've got Dante Moore as your second-team quarterback. What do you like about the? What do you like so much about the Oregon Ducks? I know you're high on Oregon.
Well, C.J. Carr comes in. He's the Heisman favorite. And bad news for Tim and other C.J. Carr bettors is that the preseason Heisman favorite hasn't won the award the last 12 years. So, he's still a phenomenal quarterback. I have Notre Dame in my top four, probably going to go undefeated or at least 11-1. But with Oregon, yeah, I'm calling it the year of the duck. And it really started last year, 2025, when I was doing my preview magazine research, going room by room with Oregon. And I could not believe the amount of five-star talent that they have accumulated up there in Eugene. You know, you look at the high school recruiting, three straight top five classes, and then you stack in two top five transfer halls on top of that. They're the only team in the country to pair both of those stats. You know, a ton of future NFLers, including Dante Moore himself, should have been picked in the first round last year, decided to come back to college, surprised everybody. So I don't really see many weaknesses on this team. The receivers are back healthy. Offensive line looks strong, and they always are tough up there. The defensive line, all four guys made my All-Big Ten team. So I'm really high on Oregon, both sides of the ball. And to bring it back to the magazine, last year in 25, I wrote in there that not in 25, but next year, 2026, 12 months from now, I'm going to call for them to win the national title. And, you know, fast forward 12 months, here we are. I'm sticking with it. I think it's Oregon's time to finally win their first national championship. Would be the fourth straight for the Big Ten, fourth different for the Big Ten. I know that'll upset some of our Southern listeners, but that's what I've got it as. Oregon as the national title pick there at +270.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, where you can follow him on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com. And Brett also will join me every Wednesday, as he did last year on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And you can check out Pick Six Plus, which is a weekly stat pack, which is very important for me personally when it comes to preparing for each and every week. And he's going to go a little bit deeper. You're going into the non-AQ this year, huh? A little G6 flavor into your life for Pick Six Plus.
Of course, expanding into the G5, going full FBS now. So you still have the original Pick 6 Plus package, the Power 4, that comes out every Tuesday. You get all my numbers, my stats updated, my game projections, my picks, all that against the spread information, situational splits, talent profiles for every team. So you still get that every Tuesday. But now you're going to get an additional email on Wednesdays covering all the G5 games, you know, the American Conference, Conference USA, Sun Belt, MAC, Mountain West, the Pac-12. So, yeah, an expansion over at Pick 6 Plus. You want to go check that out at picksixpreviews.com. But, yeah, appreciate that, Tim. I cannot wait to be on with you every week again in the fall. We had a great run last year, ready to run it back for 2026. We got a good season to talk about all year.
So we're going Penn State under 9.5. Right now, FanDuel -$1.38 to the under. Look around. I mean, there's 8.5s out there, Matt. DraftKings is -175. Let's go to an over-win total. Let's go to the SEC. Tennessee right now, 7.5 wins. They got some unfortunate news on the defensive side of the ball over the weekend with a big loss there. But what's your outlook on the Vols this year?
Yeah, I really like Tennessee. It's a team where I went through my research process and was kind of blown away by all the talent that they brought back. Now, first off, on offense, it's an offense that scored 40 points per game. It's your normal Josh Heupel offense with the wide split receivers, the hyper-tempo pace in between plays. They're going to get their stats and their yards and their points. They bring back 8 starters off that offense. And then the big debate is at quarterback. But if you're telling me that the biggest question with the Josh Heupel team is at quarterback, remember what he pulled off with Joey Aguilar last year, a guy who came up from App State. He didn't have any winter conditioning, no spring ball. He came in July. Heupel got him up to speed. He finished second in the SEC in quarterback rating. So I like both their candidates there with George McIntyre, Faison Brandon. I think Brandon will eventually win it as a true freshman at quarterback, but I like strength and numbers there. They got two good ones to pick from. So that's the offense, but making this more of a complete team, a more complete bet over 7.5, I like the defense too. They hired Jim Knowles, one of the best defensive minds in America, who had built defenses there at Penn State, Ohio State, Duke, Oklahoma State, and he's inheriting a nice pipeline of talent here at Tennessee. I like their linebackers a lot. The defensive line has a lot of former five-star players as well. So I see the pairing of a Heupel offense with a Jim Knowles defense. I see 7.5 going over. I think it's minus 120, so it's not really too juiced yet. I like them to go at least 8-4 to cover that.
Brett Ciancia joining us here once again, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. So before we hit a break here, going back to the Big Ten, you mentioned USC. You've got them in your playoff projection. What jumps out to you about this USC team that you believe this one can get over the hump under Lincoln Riley to get into the CFP?
Yeah, well, kind of the same deal how I broke down Tennessee. It's like, you know what you're getting on offense with a Lincoln Riley offense. His quarterback is back, five stars galore at the skill positions. The running backs are back healthy, big O-line. But then what makes this a nice pick for me is when you look and see what they did on defense, because it's been a while since USC has had the defense to match with a Lincoln Riley offense. You got to go back a decade to find a top 25 unit on defense there at USC. I think it changes this year. They just signed the number one high school recruiting class in the country, mm-hmm. and a lot of that came in the front seven on defense. Defensive line looks huge. Linebackers look big and strong and fast. And they brought Gary Patterson, the old TCU head coach, who was legendary defensive mind for 20 years down in the old Big 12 and the WAC before that, the Mountain West. So he's taken over. His quote was that he's never seen a defensive line this big. I love hearing quotes like that. I trust a guy like that. That goes beyond just a normal coach speak. So you pair the Lincoln Riley offense with a super talented, albeit young, front seven. I'd like USC to get to that 9 wins. And I think 9-3 from the Big Ten is going to be a playoff team this year. So they're my fourth team in the bracket to pair with four SECs.
Yeah, we talked about this last night. That six-game stretch for USC is brutal. That's about as tough as any team's going to face over six consecutive games. But like Brett, I like the Gary Patterson hire at DC because USC lost Dan Tomlin to Penn State, and I think Patterson's a great replacement.
We're going to have more with Brett Ciancia, creator and author of Pick 6 Previews, picksixpreviews.com. So we'll continue to dive into his favorite teams of the upcoming season. He likes Penn State under 9.5, Tennessee over 7.5. Oregon is his champ. More with Brett Ciancia, as well as getting you updated on all the baseball action, including White Sox, Cubs, our game of the night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before we get back to Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews, we got an update. Hashtag Yankees update, Matt. It's a winner for the New York Yankees.
David Bednar closes it out. Yankees in a good spot tonight in Baltimore, get the 3-1 win.
3-1 the final score, as Matt mentioned there. The Dodgers have taken a 3-1 lead here in the top of the third inning. Matt, guess who homered? Shohei Ohtani. Two-run homer for Shohei Ohtani. 448 feet to right center. So anything you can do, I can do better, apparently. PCA goes yard in the first inning. Shohei Ohtani goes yard in the third inning. That is going to be quite the back and forth for the NL MVP.
Dodgers needed something to wake him up offensively, and I think Coors Field and the Colorado Rockies pitching staff has done that here the last couple
of
nights.
And one more update, our game of the night, White Sox and Cubs, end of four innings at Wrigley Field. Mentioned Pete Crow Armstrong, also Michael Busch going yard in the first inning, but since a run in the second, a Murakami absolute blast in the third, and now an RBI double in the fourth gives the White Sox a 3-2 lead. All right, let's head back to our Progressive guest line and welcome in Brett Ciancia, once again, picksixpreviews.com. You can get the PDF for $20 right now. You can get the hard copy and the PDF, I believe, for $28. So picksixpreviews.com. Matt, I'll toss it over to you because I know you've got some thoughts on the Louisville Cardinals.
Yeah, Louisville's my pick to win the ACC. And Brett, I see you've got Jeff Brohm number two in that conference. What do you like about the Louisville Cardinals?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one of those coaches I really have a lot of respect for. He's got a nice track record on offense and in developing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And he's done it a couple years in a row now from the transfer portal at quarterback. This time he brings in Lincoln Kienholz, a guy who barely lost the quarterback race at Ohio State to Julian Sayin. Of course, Sayin went on to New York as a Heisman finalist, so it's no slouch to be number two right behind the guy. But it's a different style of quarterback. You're getting a 6'4", 220, a runner, more of a physical dual threat guy. So I asked Coach Brohm this on my call with him. I said, hey, a different kind of a style quarterback. How's this going to look for the scheme? He kind of chuckled and said he's got some surprises up his sleeve scheme-wise. So I trust this guy a lot and this offense. It's going to be dynamic. Put some key pieces around him too. Starters at receiver off of Vanderbilt and Florida State. The running backs are elite. And I like a defense to pair with it. A very nice pass rush. Probably the second best pass rush in the conference besides Miami. So all that together, it's a talented team. I have Miami number one in the ACC. Just what they showed me in January growing up as a program, their talent acquisition is head and shoulders above the rest of the league. So Miami is my pick to win the conference. But in a Louisville versus SMU debate for number two, to play them in Charlotte, I'm going Louisville. I'm right there with you. When you look at their talent, if you look at future NFL watch lists, it's more than double the amount of prospects Louisville's got compared to SMU. The cupboard is pretty bare on SMU's defense this year. And then lastly, schedule. Louisville, they only draw one of the top six in the ACC, that team being SMU, and the game is at home for Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky. So I like Louisville to make it to Charlotte and play Miami for the ACC title game.
Schedule certainly sets up well for Jeff Brohm, as I've talked about. Tim, it's not a top 10 game for me or you, but Louisville-Ole Miss is going to be a good one early September.
Big-time game where you may have two guys going for the Heisman Trophy. One can hope, as I have a 110-1 ticket on Lincoln Kienholz to shock the world. But, yeah, that should be a really fun one. We've seen some market movement already. Speaking of those Ole Miss Rebels, you are also bullish on Ole Miss in year one, full year one of Pete Golding, with Kawan Lacy back at running back and Trinidad Chambliss back at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm high on them. They're in plus money right now to make the playoff, and that's one of my picks I've got. I've got them going to the playoff. And, you know, they answered all my questions that I had when I started the research process for the magazine. It's like coaching change was a question. Losing Lane Kiffin's play calling was a question. The defense was under average last year, below average. But one by one, they answered those questions. First with Pete Golding. We already saw them play for this new head coach all throughout that playoff. They played inspired collective football together. I like what he's done there. Secondly, the play caller. I know you lose a legend with Lane Kiffin, but they went and hired a guy, John David Baker, who was a former Kiffin assistant, Kiffin coordinator, and led a huge offensive turnaround at East Carolina the last couple of years. And when quoted, he was saying he's keeping it 90% the same as the Ole Miss offense they ran last year. So that tells me you know what you're getting from Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback, Kawan Lacy, the interior of that offensive line returns. So kind of I know what I'm signing up for on offense now, even despite the loss of Kiffin. And then lastly, what puts us over the jump for me here is the defense. You know, when you look at the transfer market, they signed 8 four-star transfers on defense alone. That is unbelievable. That's like number two in the country. So Pete Golding being the head coach and a defensive guy, he changed the budget around. He put more funds toward that side of the ball here in portal season, and you're seeing it on this roster. This is a playoff roster for sure, and I've got him in there being my fourth SEC team in the bracket, getting the at-large spot.
Brett, you mentioned you're talking to Jeff Brohm on a call, and I know Phil Steele likes to call coaches and get the rundown on the roster and everything. Were you able to get every coach on the phone? Did you get Lane Kiffin on the phone?
I did not get Lane Kiffin. I would love to talk to him. He's okay. Such an interesting guy, really an innovator on offense, but he's had a heck of an offseason. Maybe we'll let him breathe a little bit. I'm sure he's busy. But no, I love talking to head coaches, talking to coordinators, local media, getting practice reports on the ground. It really is a never-ending research project for me with the magazine. And ever since the addition of the transfer portal and all the mass movement, it really has become a 365-day project. Mm-hmm. But I put everything into it. Every nook and cranny, I'm finding facts and stats and information, and it all goes into those 2 pages per team in my magazine. So haven't talked to Coach Kiffin. He's at the top of my list. I would love to talk with him. Really an offensive innovator. And as he calls himself, the Portal King.
Oh, outstanding job on the magazine. Really is in-depth, and it's, you do great work on it. How about TCU? What do you think of the Horned Frogs with a new quarterback And is this team flying under the radar? I'm curious what you think of TCU and North Carolina, because that's a week zero matchup in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to kick the season off in Ireland. And for UNC, hopefully it's more competitive than last year's opener. Remember, they're with the whole ESPN complex, the whole national spotlight on them in their opener for Coach Belichick. They scored right away, made it 7-0. And then TCU dropped 41 straight points on them to really destroy their season opener. So I think it's going to be similar this year. I have TCU big, big, big. I know the line's about a touchdown right now. It was 6.5. It's now up to 7.5. I think they're going to win by multiple touchdowns. I like TCU a lot this season, too. It's a team that I feel like is being slept on. I've got them in my top 25 in the country. I've got them fourth in the Big 12. And I think they're being slept on because it was kind of a quiet offseason. You know, it wasn't a huge transfer haul, but what they did do really well was player retention. All their star players, except for the one big one at quarterback with Josh Hoover going to Indiana. But all the other players that could have transferred out, they're all back at Fort Worth. And if you look at the Big 12 high school recruiting rankings, you know, take OU and Texas out of the mix because they're gone now. But the current Big 12 teams, they are, TCU is number one in 2023, number one in 24, number one in 25. They are your high school recruiting powerhouse in the conference. So while it might not get the biggest headlines with a lack of transfers, I think it's a really talented roster. You love that receiver trio. The pass rush looks solid. And it does come down to the Harvard transfer, Jaden Craig. He's getting some NFL buzz, so I'll trust that. But I think it's a complete team. And definitely being slept on. I like them over their win total, 6.5. And I like them to smack UNC there in the opener.
So maybe not take the points of Belichick in that one, Tim. Maybe not. Maybe not. So, by the way, are you down on North Carolina like most? Where would you lean on the North Carolina win total?
Yeah, I'm pretty down on UNC. And it's not even really the drama aspect of it because we can see that going getting derailed too. But just looking purely at the roster, I think that they shied away from the transfer portal this year. They really doubled down on the longer term build, the high school recruiting. And give him credit, it was a top 25 high school class, but that's going to take time to develop. So they're playing the long game. I don't see an instant breakthrough here in 2026. So I don't see a bowl. I don't see any way they make a bowl this year.
Playing the long game, Tim, and they might not be there for a long time talking about that coaching.
Pick6previews.com. You can check out the preview magazine. I have it right here on the desk. All right, before we let you run, Alabama, very polarizing team this year, comes in the AP poll at number 13. What do you expect this year from Kalen DeBoer's squad?
Yeah, with Alabama, I've got them down at 16th in the country, and I launched this preview magazine back in 2012. That was the peak Nick Saban dynasty. That was like championship every year. So to think to see them down at 16th, it felt odd to do. But when you watch them last year, it was a lot of close margins. Now, granted, they won a lot of those close games, but I didn't see that blowout factor. Those margins weren't there like they used to have. And then you saw them get humbled in the playoff. You know, they averaged under a yard per carry in the postseason. And I don't think they fixed a lot of these questions. The offensive line downgraded the defensive front seven. They lost six starters there. I love the secondary, love the quarterbacks. But besides there, I have so many questions. I can't believe it from Alabama. So I don't see a playoff run here. And if they fail to make the playoff, you can turn up the temperature there on the hot seats. So I'm definitely fading Alabama this year.
You can get the PDF over at pick6previews.com. You can also get the hard copy as well. Brett, always appreciate it. And once again, Brett will be joining me every Wednesday this upcoming college football season on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Brett, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate the invite anytime.
There he is. Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews. Follow him there on social media. Recapping a couple win totals under Penn State, 9.5, and over Tennessee, 7.5. Our game of the night is at Wrigley Field. White Sox, Cubs. We'll update you next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good stuff as always from our buddy Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews, as going a little contrarian. I like it. Under 9.5. The movement on Penn State's win total is pretty wild. It was 8.5, and now it is 9.5 at some shops, with the juice as little as minus 138 to the under on Penn State. So, you know, look around if you want to jump in on Brett Ciancia. Maybe it'll land right there at 9, because our guest later on tonight, Jared Smith, came on this show two or three weeks ago and loved over 8.5. So maybe we could have two happy guests, 9-3 Penn State, and everyone goes home a winner.
It's quite possible. When you look at Penn State's schedule, it looks like it's going to be probably an 8 or 9 win team, right?
Certainly seems.
I think 10's a stretch. I think 10 wins is a stretch for that team.
Let's quickly update, Matt, our game of the night, the White Sox and the Chicago Cubs right now. Wrigley Field score 3-2, just like it was a night ago. Different way to get there for the White Sox as they had a RBI single in the second, a Murakami absolute blast in the third, and then a RBI double, in the fourth. Pete Crow Armstrong did homer, Matt, and I looked it up. Pete Crow Armstrong started the day minus 155 to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Hits a home run in the first inning, his 31st homer of the year. And right now, DraftKings is the only book that I see still with the odds up. It has moved now 10 cents on Pete Crow Armstrong. Shohei Ohtani, by the way, also hit a two-run homer tonight. So he's keeping pace there. But we are talking about a 75-cent move on the MVP market over the last 2 days.
And Shohei Ohtani has hit 3 home runs during that
right.
time.
So if you want in on Shohei Ohtani, FanDuel has it at plus 130. Who knows if it's going to keep going up. You know, we played a clip earlier in the show from Jesse Rogers of ESPN. Said he talked to about 25, 30 players around the league, not Cubs or Dodgers. And he said it's recency bias, but it felt overwhelming that it would be PCA. But there was the caveat of if Shohei pitches again,
he's going to pitch again.
Then he would be a look there. So, Matt, yesterday on this show, you said at plus 110, plus 115, PCA was probably a good bet. That was before he hit the walk-off homer last night that everybody saw. Is Shohei Ohtani at plus 130 now a decent bet?
I think so. You know, and the reason is that Shohei's going to come back and pitch in September. And don't get it wrong. Shohei wants to win MVP. He cares about things like this. And he's very aware of this MVP race. Again, you're talking about a pitcher who's got 14 starts, who's 8-2 with a whip under 1, ERA of 179. That's what he's got going for him in this race. Right now, I know it's you don't want to go against the tide. And that's the public sentiment right now is all about Pete Crow Armstrong. I get it, but look, we still got 6 weeks to go. You got to play the long game here, right?
It's not like Ohtani's in some slump right now. As you mentioned, 2 homers last night and a homer tonight. Oh, my goodness. Matt, stop the presses.
What happened?
Kyle Tucker, RBI double.
Well, the good thing is when he got to second base, he did that little dance that they all do because, you know, when you stop an 0 for 30 skid, you got to celebrate when you get a hit.
And I don't think he's dropped a fly ball yet tonight either. So what a night for Kyle Tucker as he turns on one down the right field line.
That's the only thing the Dodgers do, and I know a lot of other teams do this too, that annoys me. Every time a guy gets a hit, he gets to first base, he's going like this. You have to celebrate every time you get a hit.
Team camaraderie, Matt. They're having fun. They're playing baseball.
Tim, I watched the game a couple weeks ago, and they were down 8-2, and a guy got a hit, and he's on first base celebrating. You're down 6 runs. You don't need to celebrate when you hit a single. But
Eric Fetty gets a strikeout here to end the 5th inning. The Las Vegas native strutting off the mound. 5 innings in the books. White Sox lead 3-2. Live number right now at Wrigley Field for our game of the night has the Chicago White Sox as a minus 142 favorite. Matt, we saw the Cubs, they were down 3-2, had a 4-3 lead, then they were down 5-4, tied it up in the ninth, won it last night in walk-off fashion. The comeback Cubs, do you look at some point to back the Cubs here against the White Sox?
I might not do that tonight. I told you I wondered if the Cubs used up all their magic last night in that wild game at Wrigley, and feels like the White Sox might find a way to hold on to the lead tonight. I'm not going to argue if you want to bet that, but I'm not going to play the Cubs right now.
I don't think the Mariners are going to come back tonight, Matt.
They're
That's
not
just gonna
me
come going
back.
On a limb. 11-0, the Brewers coming off of their road trip where it was mixed results. They take 3 of 4 to close it out against the Dodgers, but got swept by the Padres. They lead 11-0 tonight. One final note before we get back to our countdown, Matt. Padres, bottom of the eighth inning, lead 4-2 over the New York Mets. Fernando Tatis Jr. has two homers tonight and robbed a grand slam in the bottom of the second inning as the Padres trying to continue their strong run here as entering today, Matt, they were the third wild card in the National League. Phillies a winner tonight, so they have a 1.5 game lead over the Padres. So if the season ended today, the Padres would be headed on the road in the first round of the wild card, and they would be playing the Atlanta Braves.
By the way, one more note. Right before the show, I went down to cash a couple tickets from last night, and I was talking to John Ice. She's a ticket writer down here. And I asked her, she goes, you got any bets for tonight? And I said, nah, not really. I don't like the card much. What do you have? She goes, well, I actually put in a parlay to basically pay for her dinner, to try to pay for her dinner. So how about this?
All right.
How sharp is this? I said, okay, I'm going to follow your parlay tonight, kind of live vicariously through that. She played the Guardians and the Brewers. Talk about a rocking chair
parlay.
All
right, there we go. 11-0 right now for the old Milwaukee Brewers. That's a good result. And the Guardians, by the way, not a game that we mentioned. 8-1 winner earlier tonight.
I have to get plays from her more often.
Well done.
Nice job.
Well done. All right. Throughout the night, Matt, we've been running down our favorite 10 games of the college football season. I am 10 through 7. We have not hit your number 7 game. So what comes in at number 7 on your countdown of most anticipated college football games of the year?
Tim, I believe number 7 on your list is the same game on my list, and that's Oklahoma-Texas, the Red River. At the Cotton Bowl, and again, Oklahoma appears twice on my list. Already, Texas is going to come up on the list again here later, but number 10, Oklahoma at Michigan. Number 9, Oregon at USC. Number 8, Georgia at Alabama. Number 7, Oklahoma, Texas. October 10th, and how about that October 10th lineup right there? Georgia, Bama, Sooners, Longhorns. That's a pretty good Saturday. Let's move on to number 6. What do you have on your list?
Yeah, just quickly looking at what the current number is for Red River.
By the way, Steve Sarkisian's had a couple of really good years in that rivalry. Brent Venables has not.
No. Last year with the injury. Last By the way, Texas.
A couple years ago, it was 49-0. You remember that game?
Yeah. Okay. Texas, a 6-point favorite right now in Red River. SEC flavor continues, Matt. Let's go back to Tuscaloosa. Number 6 for me was number 8 for you. Georgia at Alabama. Last year, these two teams played. Alabama won the regular season, and then Georgia absolutely dominated in the SEC championship. You know, still good enough to get Alabama to the playoff, though. But number 6 for me in Tuscaloosa, Georgia at Alabama.
I mentioned some big-time SEC games are not going to appear on my top 10 list here. Just outside the top 10. I did not put LSU Ole Miss on my top 10. I don't care about the Lane Kiffin soap opera.
It's pretty high up there for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm going to look at that a little bit differently. I don't care for all the Lane Kiffin hype or Kiffin going back to Oxford. I don't care much about that stuff. So I'd like to tune out that noise that week. Number 6 on my list is going to be, how about Oregon and Ohio State? This is a pretty big game in the Big Ten. If you look at Ohio State's schedule, it's crazy how many big games the Buckeyes played this season. This one in Columbus. Is this the second time Oregon appears on my list here? Oregon at USC, number 9. Oregon at Ohio State, number 6. And if you remember last year, and I'm sure you do, Dante Moore and the Ducks went on the road and had a big win at Penn State. We'll see if they can do it in Columbus.
You know, it's crazy to think that at number 6, Oregon, Ohio State, preseason AP poll, number 1 versus number 2, and we've got it there at number 6. But that's how loaded this year is for college football. It's on my list. It's in my top 5, but it is not number 1. We'll get into the top 5 on the other side of the break. But just a reminder, folks, if you want more on college football, more on the NFL, both our betting guides are part of our intro offer over at vsin.com. Just $9.99. Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, all of our content. You can watch old shows as well. vsin.com/subscribe. So check out what we've got to offer, including our betting guides, which are chock full of information for just $9.99. Can the Chicago White Sox add to their lead here on the top of the sixth inning? Two outs at Wrigley and a man on third for the Chicago White Sox. We'll update you on all the baseball happenings as well as a little insight, Matt, on the Indiana Hoosiers. What do we expect from them after winning the national title?